This is a time of year that gardeners are beginning to receive the fruits of their labor. It's also a time of year that I have always enjoyed in being able to get fresh garden vegetables. And even though I had tried since going into the ministry to raise a garden, I realized that it's too much work and time and effort to intending to the garden. But for those who have their own home gardens, you know that it is an enjoyable benefit for you. That the fruits coming forth, the vegetables that are coming forth from those vines and bushes and plants become the wages for your efforts, for your labor, for the time spent. And in this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus is using this agrarian kind of a metaphor, and I think that it's very powerful, it's very revelatory in terms of our own salvation, in terms of the kingdom of heaven. Because for you gardeners, is what you receive in the way of those fruits, the squash, the peppers, the whatever, the turnip greens and so forth, are they your wages, strictly speaking, or is it also a gift? A gift from God, the fruit from the ground, the fruit from the seeds given to us by God. And I would say that the answer is both. It is both that you are receiving your wages, the benefits, and then the nutritional benefits of organic vegetables, which can't compare with commercially raised vegetables. These organically raised vegetables that provide us our very lives and sustenance as we eat and partake of the nutrition. And so there is a sense in which not only is it the wages for those who have tilled the ground and tended the earth, but it is also a gift. It is a gift of life itself, of sustenance, a gift from God in the fruit of the ground. And many of you, I know even within our own mission, the Kelballs, John Malloy, and others, will share those vegetables and will bring them, your excess, to church where people can have them or give them to those who are needy. And that, strictly speaking, for those who receive, is purely a gift. It's purely a gift being shared. In the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, is teaching his disciples that to beware of false prophets, to beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, he says, in sheep's clothing, or as in other parts of the New Testament, says, girded or clothed as angels of light. But Jesus is saying these false prophets, these that come representing the gospel, representing the kingdom of heaven, will have the outward appearance. That is, they will use the language of Christianity. They will say what appears to be the right things. But there is a subtlety, because really inside, he says, he warns, that they are as ravening wolves. That is, they are predators. They are predators on the unknowing, the ignorant, those who are easily deceived. So how do we know? How do we know? How do we know that we, for those of us who follow me into the Orthodox faith, how do you know that I'm not just dressed up in sheep's clothing? How do you know that the Orthodox Church is the Church of Christ and the Apostles? Well, Jesus gives us the litmus test. He said, because you will know them. This is verse 16 of Matthew chapter 7. You will know them by their fruits. And he says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And of course, we know the answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. By their fruits, by the fruits of their lives, by the fruits of the life of our church, you will know. You will know that it's not a counterfeit. It's not a counterfeit gospel, but rather the authentic thing. But Jesus goes on to say something that's in some ways is pretty disturbing in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We can say, Lord, Lord, all day long. We can say, Jesus is Lord. We can say that I believe in God. I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the second person of the triune God. We can say, make those confessions, but where is the fruit? Where is the fruit of our lives? Have we taken inventory? The Word of God says, not that those who confess, but those who are faithful to the end shall be saved. Those who are faithful to the end shall be saved. So it's not even coming in and into the Orthodox faith or making a confession of the Christian faith and being baptized and working most of part of your life as a Christian, but rather continuing on and building and harvesting those fruits. We are working towards the gift of God. The gift of God. But what is the gift of God? In our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 6, St. Paul is talking about using the metaphor of slavery. And talking about being slave, how we once were formerly slaves to sin. And he says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. And he goes on to say, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. You have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. You see, there are wages of sin. There are wages of sin, and we see throughout the Christian world, these false prophets, these ravening wolves that are preying upon the unknowing, the unwitting, those who are not schooled in the basics and the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And they are like ravening wolves. They're clothed in Christian language. I went to, as you know, I've been to three seminaries, and one of the seminaries, a liberal mainline seminary, is teaching and essentially is raising up, in essence, false prophets. That is to say that at least if those coming out of seminary are following everything that's being taught, they are being taught things which depart from the historic Christian faith. Universalism, that all paths lead to God if we just sincerely seek Him. And then we see the support of things that the church has always held as abominations. in terms of sexual sin, in terms of the killing of the unborn. And it's all clothed in Christian language like compassion and love and inclusion. And who would be against those things? But it is a facade. It is a deception. You see, love and compassion and inclusion is found only in the place, not of where death abides, where the fruit of those things are death, but rather where life abides, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, this is the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And yet we realize we come every Sunday, we make a confession, and we acknowledge that we have blown it through the week. And for those of you that haven't, then let me know what your secret is. Because every week I come and I make my confession at the altar, the general confession. And there's a general absolution pronounced by the priest every Sunday. I pray for absolution, and yet at the same time I'm pronouncing absolution and forgiveness of sins. This is the gift of God. We work toward our salvation. We work out our salvation, Scripture tells us. We tend our garden, as it were. We till the soil. We can't sit back and expect fruit to come forth from our lives, from our souls, if we're living throughout the week, throughout the months and years, a life of prayerlessness, a life of not studying Scripture, a life of not remembering to give thanks to God, of not abiding by the fasts and the feasts, by failing to forgive our brethren and sister. This is the work of tending our garden. Today we commemorate St. John Cassian, who is an important saint both in Eastern as well as the Western churches. St. John Cassian was a very early monastic who lived a number of years in a monastic community right outside of Bethlehem. It is believed that though his ethnic identity is not entirely certain, there's a belief that he may have been of Gallican descent. But St. John Cassian developed a spirituality, a very rigorous ascetical spirituality that really became a pattern for much of the so-called desert Christianity, desert monasticism, the desert monastics. And most specifically, he became the principal influence in the life of Saint Benedict, who really was seen as the father of Western monasticism in the Benedictine communities and those that derive from the Benedictine communities. But St. John Cassian understood this apparent paradox, this paradox between having to work out our salvation, having to tend the garden, as it were, and yet receiving as a gift the fruits, the virtues, the fruits of the Spirit, and ultimately the gift of eternal life. St. John Cassian, he said this when he was criticized as being a heretic, and that is in terms of believing that others reading his works, believing that he was working his way to salvation. He said, John Cassian, in response to that accusation, said, the thief on the cross certainly did not enter the kingdom of heaven by his virtues, but rather by the mercy and grace of God. So let him be an authentic witness to our salvation, to our salvation, which comes only by the grace and mercy of God. This is the gift. This is the gift. Even as we struggle, even as we tend our gardens, even as we suffer, even as we oftentimes don't see the fruit immediately coming, even as we have our ebbs and our tides and our own commitment and spirituality, we continue the good fight. We continue to till the ground of our own soul and our own heart, letting the fruits come forth, receiving the wages not of sin, which is death, but the wages of eternal life. And this is not just the pie in the sky or something off in the distant future, but I want us to know that we begin the reception of that now. As we have come to the faith, as we prepare ourselves to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, the gift of God, the gift of Himself, the gift of everlasting life. This is why we call it Eucharist, giving thanks for something that we have not earned, but rather through God's grace and mercy have gladly and with thankfulness received the gift of God, which is everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.